Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFBA. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
It is Dave the Computer Guy this morning from Tex in the Berg. Dave, good morning. Good to have you on again this morning.
Good morning, Ted. Good morning, Fredericksburg.
It seems like it was only been a month since you and I talked, Dave, but it seems like the world has changed, and it was summer and now it's fall. And what is happening?
It was hot and humid a month ago. Now it's cool and rainy and summer's gone and everything's now people are planning for Halloween.
Exactly. It just seems the seasons just seem to change so quickly. And you're right.
This seemed to change very fast, Ted, because it wasn't that long ago. It was really hot and humid. Now you drive around downtown Fredericksburg, and people are putting up Halloween decorations everywhere, and it's cool and rainy. So things changed really fast the last 4 weeks.
It's going to be interesting to see when we start. You see some trees starting to change, but you know that's going to come, and especially with all this rain now that we've had, that sometimes will help trees change a little bit quicker.
Yes, and I'm not anticipating a really, really colorful fall because of the drought situation.
Yeah.
We have had some rain to help, but we'll see how the colors, how everything ends out, but I like fall, change of the colors, but I'm not anticipating a real, real colorful fall this time.
No, it is. It has been. It's been an interesting weather year where we have had some big storms around here and gotten some rain. But like you say, for the most part, it has been dry. And you think that generally does impact the leaves.
Yes, especially out west. We've gotten a decent amount of rain lately around Northern Virginia, but west in the Shenandoah, they're still under really bad drought. And so I don't think the leaves are going to do that much out there, but we'll see. We'll see. I might still venture this fall up to Skyline Drive one day just to take a look around.
That is a great thing and a great opportunity that we have around here, and especially if you can do it, like you say, during the week. The weekends, oftentimes the traffic is so heavy, but if you can get away during the week, it's usually not too bad.
Yes, and especially early in the day and at Skyline Drive. I mean, Saturday midday is going to be packed. Sunday midday is going to be packed. But if you can get up there weekdays or early in the morning, I think, that's the time to do it.
Nothing better than to go to a place like Sperryville or just drive around with the leaves changing and stop at those roadside stands and get some cider. And we're near a lot of great things around here.
521, Ted, that leads to Sperryville from Culpeper.
Yeah.
There is one or two apple places that my wife and I like to go in the fall and get apples,
yeah,
or peaches or whatever they got that's ripe. And it's a beautiful drive up there.
I know just the way we do that too, and it is. It's well worth doing. You were telling me before the show started that last week around this time, as you looked at the weather and having family and friends in North Carolina, you kind of saw where this big storm was going, and you were one of the people who looked at it, and you were kind of worried about it last week at this time.
Yes, I think it was about 1 week ago today, I was looking at one of the computer models, and I was like, oh no, this could be bad. And I messaged some of my friends in Florida saying, you need to pay attention because come Thursday, you might have a Category 4 or 5 hurricane, right next door to you. And so you need to, keep an eye on the weather forecasts. And every day that went by, it got, more and more certain. And the forecast models did a really, really good job at predicting this storm. It wasn't a Cat 5, but it was real close. And I was like, this is going to be an historic event. Those were the words I used. This will be an historic event. I just didn't realize how historic. This is just awful what has happened in Georgia, North Carolina, and Tennessee.
Yeah.
Besides flattening part of the panhandle of Florida, the flooding and everything in North Carolina and Tennessee is mind-boggling. And after the break, I want to talk more about that because I have family members there. And some of the technology that's used to predict these storms and the technology used to help people after the storms. There's a lot of stuff going on, and there's a lot to talk about in the next hour.
Let's take a quick break and come back, and we'll jump right into that because we talk technology with you, and that's when things like this happen, it's always interesting to see and kind of know behind the scenes what's going on, and we'll do that when we come back. Dave, the computer guy with Techs in the Berg here this morning. They're at 505 Lafayette Boulevard, techsintheberg.com. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA. We will be right back.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230. You can weigh in about today's topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230 and by text at 540-371-5756. Here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Dave, the computer guy in this morning with Tex in the Berg on Lafayette Boulevard in downtown Fredericksburg, talking weather and technology and everything. Wow, Dave, for you to look at this last week and to say this could be historic. You saw something there.
Yes. Monday and into Tuesday, Ted, when I was looking at the computer models, each run, they're usually about 6 or 8 hours apart when they update. And I'm like, oh, no, Thursday, 8 a.m. is a really, really intense storm right off the Florida Panhandle. And it was moving really fast. And it was going to move through Georgia up to North Carolina real fast and then stall. And I was like, oh, gosh, this is going to be a catastrophe. And at the time, even though I thought it was going to be really bad, and I use the words historic, I didn't realize how bad at that time. I didn't think we were going to get 30 inches almost in some parts of western North Carolina and Tennessee. And when you have 29, 30 inches in mountainous terrain, that is a catastrophe. And that's exactly what happened with this. The bridges washed out, landslides. I-40, which runs east-west through Asheville, through western North Carolina, is cut off in several different places. A lot of the side roads and smaller roads are washed out. The cell towers... for cell phone and data transfer, most cell towers have backups. They have a diesel generator or batteries. But with these type of floods, the whole cell tower can be washed away. And I know of several places in western North Carolina where the cell towers are not working. And so besides people having no electricity, no water, nothing, they have no cell phones, they can't do anything. And they're in a dire situation, a lot of them.
Well, and like you say, we're used to most hurricanes in these kinds of tropical storms will come up the coast. Just the topography changes, like you say, the whole equation of this because it was in the mountains.
Yes, 30 inches somewhere else may have not been nearly as bad, but when you have mountainous terrain, and you have 30 inches of rain, that is going to be a disaster. And that's exactly what happened. The storm was moving about 20 miles an hour through Georgia up to North Carolina. Then it stalled and just sat there. And in this day and age, everyone is connected. You have a cable TV, you have smartphones. It's 24/7 news and information that people have, virtually everyone. And after this storm, a lot of western North Carolina and Tennessee is completely in the dark. They have no cell service. They can't text. No one can get in touch with them. I was actually toying with the idea of calling some local sheriff departments down in western North Carolina to do wellness checks on some of my family members. But when I started looking into it, there are already well over 6,000 requests for wellness checks on people in Western North Carolina. And I'm like, oh gosh, well, forget it. This isn't going to happen. And but we have heard an occasional text from some of our relatives. We know they're all okay, but it's still a really, really bad situation there. Something that I couldn't even fathom last week being this bad.
Wow, and you just think the rebuilding of that infrastructure, whether it's roads, whether it's just even on the technology side.
And actually, SpaceX, they have Starlink portable cell towers, so to speak, or hotspots. The government is deploying these in Western North Carolina as we speak, to try to get some cell phone coverage and help people out as far as contacting people, let everyone know they're okay. And so that's one thing the technology can do to help people in these type of disasters are these portable cell towers that they can move in when, you know, the cell tower is damaged from flooding or a tornado or whatever.
Mm, it's hard to imagine all the work And how much people's lives are going to be disrupted now for so long.
This will take years to recover from, Ted. This isn't a week or two or a few months or something. This will be years before Western North Carolina and parts of Tennessee are back to normal, if they ever are back to normal. Some of them, it's so bad. And I'm glad the news and Facebook and different social media things are showing some of the destruction there, because it's sort of snuck up on everyone, I feel, because we knew the storm was here. We knew it was going to be bad, not this bad. I think this is like a once in a thousand year storm, basically. What the damage that I'm seeing, that I know for a fact has happened in Western North Carolina and Tennessee, I've never seen anything like it. In the early 70s, we had a real bad hurricane come up the East Coast and flood everything around Northern Virginia.
Was that Agnes?
That was Agnes.
Yeah.
That was nothing compared to this.
That's what I was
compared to the destruction in Western North Carolina.
Yes, I was just going to say, you know, we see the pictures around here from Agnes in the early 70s and talk about what downtown Fredericksburg looked like. It is a lot worse what we're looking at in North Carolina right now.
Yes, yep, and I'm just glad that the government is involved and they do have Starlink. They are getting the portable cell towers out. Hopefully, they'll get some food and water to these people, because there's literally thousands of people with no water, no food. They can't go anywhere. They have no power, and so the next week or two are going to be really, really tough. And I hope the government really does everything humanly possible to help these people.
And just because they are in the mountains, and because roads are affected, and because it's tough to get to them, like you say, you don't want someone to starve to death, and just getting to people is going to be difficult.
And I've been sending some of my family members cases of water. I don't know if they're going to actually get there. I don't know if Amazon or Walmart their drivers can actually make it to some of these locations.
Yeah.
But I'm like, well, I'm going to try.
Right.
So I sent some cases of water to my relatives. But I'm thankful, though, for the technology that we have, the computer systems that NOAA has, and even the European computer systems with the European computer models that forecast these type of events. Without this technology, there would have been a tremendous amount of loss of life. As opposed, right now, I think it's just under 100 people. That's going to grow, I'm sure. But without this technology and this early warning, it would have been probably thousands of people that perished.
That is one of the technology and the fact that it is, especially with these big storms and these hurricanes, it can pinpoint things so well. And It has come so far. The technology has come so far.
NOAA uses two huge supercomputers, one in Reston and one in Orlando, Florida, and just huge supercomputers. And the European model uses a huge supercomputer in Italy. And that one is one of the most powerful. That's even more powerful than what NOAA has, the two that NOAA has in Reston and Orlando. The one in Italy is a monster. It has one part of it has 1 million CPU cores. When you think about a computer and they might have a dual core or four or yeah. eight cores, this one supercomputer, which is basically a lot of big computers all connected together, it has 1 million cores of processing power. And the European model, as opposed to the American forecast model, is a little bit more accurate because of this supercomputer. And I think NOAA is going to be updating some of their computers in Reston and Orlando in the next 2 or 3 years. But a lot of money is spent on this, and it saves a lot of lives and helps people in immense ways.
There are. It's so often. It's especially noticeable, Dave. Like in the winter, sometimes you'll have. It's just a. You know. It's a gorgeous day, and you. But you know. You've been told that a storm is coming, and just the way forecasting is today. It is just amazing. And as you describe these computers, how they do save lives and, you know, help us prepare for these kinds of situations.
Ted, I remember it was several years ago, actually maybe more than several years ago, maybe like 8 or 10 or 12 years ago, we had a huge snowstorm around Fredericksburg in Northern Virginia. And on Channel 4, Doug Kammerer was saying the latest computer model just came out, and he was like, ugh, and he loves snow. And he is like, this is pretty amazing. And I looked at it, and near Fredericksburg, I think it was forecasting 30 inches. I'm like, oh, gosh, I can't believe 30 inches of snow. And it was real close. We got in the mid to upper 20s, 25, 27 inches of snow. And the computer model was correct. And these type of, it's not always correct. Weather forecasting is one of the most unforgiving, impossible things yes. in the world to do, but they've got a degree of accuracy down now that's pretty good, and it definitely saves a lot of people's lives, and it's extraordinarily beneficial to people.
Well, and just like last week when it showed the storm not coming up the coast, because you generally think of these storms coming up the coast, or they will, even if they start in the panhandle of Florida, a lot of times they'll bend around and end up in this. Didn't it? It always showed coming up the path it did, and like you say,
yep,
that
it
saved
it came
lives
up through Georgia and then jogged to the west a little bit through North Carolina into Tennessee, and that's why the western part of North Carolina and Tennessee got slammed. That's another thing that, a lot of people are talking about the devastation of North Carolina. I have friends in Tennessee, and they are completely devastated. And so between what the western part of North Carolina and the eastern part of Tennessee, it's one of the worst floods I've ever seen.
Mm. I guess you've talked about sending water to relatives. If you have friends who live in these areas, do what you can to check on them.
Absolutely, that's one thing that the Starlink satellite technology is going to be very helpful with, because with the cell towers down, no one can call. Very few people have phone lines anymore. Everyone texts. Everyone uses their cell phone. And so the Starlink satellite hotspots, so to speak, are going to be invaluable to let people to actually be able to communicate again and check on people, elderly people, sick people. And so this is a really, really tough road for a lot of people. And hopefully that'll help in today and tomorrow. Hopefully the weather will cooperate and they can act in the government can actually make some headway in helping these people.
Boy, yeah, and like you say, the technology before and now the technology afterwards, we really rely on all of this stuff.
Yes, it's intertwined, like I was mentioning earlier. Everything is 24/7 news and cable TV and Facebook and all the social media and stuff. And to go from that to completely nothing, no water, no food, no cell phone, nothing, that is tough. You can't check on people. Everyone's worried to death. And so hopefully, you know, some headway can be made today and tomorrow and Wednesday in Tennessee and North Carolina and help these people.
That just you describing, though, the size, Dave, of these computers that that forecast our weather just puts it into perspective of how powerful these computers are and how it just processes all the information.
Yeah, and the atmosphere, the environment it's one of the most complex things in the world to predict. It's impossible to have 100% accuracy. There's too many variables.
Yep.
But these supercomputers, they do a pretty good job of it. It's not perfect, but I'd much rather have them than not have them.
Yeah. Well, you've always been interested in weather, and I know you have followed this. And for you, you've seen what the technology that we used to have, and to see what we have now. So we talk about it a lot of times. It's just there was no way back in the 70s and 80s when you first started getting into all of this to imagine where we were then and where we are now.
No, and back then, back in the 30s, 40s, and 50s, when we started getting I think it was probably in the 50s, we started getting satellite images, and then we radar,
yeah.
And then in the 70s and 80s, Doppler radar.
Yeah.
And so things improved a lot, but the supercomputers of today really, really, that changes the ball game a lot. Plus everything else we've got now, technology-wise, so that things are getting better, but it'll never be perfect as far as weather forecasting goes.
No, but even things that we have access to on our phones, all you have to do is Google, you know, weather radar for Fredericksburg, and if you're out somewhere,
all the apps, the Weather Channel app, Fox Weather, which is another really good source of weather information. They're competing with the Weather Channel, and they're really good at what they do. And those are two, Weather Channel and Fox Weather, both really good, and good radars, good forecasting. So there's a lot of different tools to use.
The we've talked about this before. The University of Mary Washington has a weather page, and they've got a great thing with one of the radars will show you if there's lightning in the area, and just those kinds of things. If you're out,
that is a really good weather page actually for local weather, mm-hmm. And they have several different flavors of radars on it. They have the precipitation, the lightning strikes, and it's very, very good information to have locally around here.
Especially if you're outside and you're doing something, just to plug that in and just take a look and see if there is lightning around you. You know, let's not hang around here. Let's get going. Let's not be outside. So yeah, you can use a lot of things locally.
Yep, I love that website. I use it especially for heavy rainfall. Uh-huh. How much rain did we get yesterday?
Yep.
Just go on that website and you'll see what yesterday's rainfall was.
Yep. Dave the Computer Guy, Tex in the Berg. Good stuff this morning. TexintheBerg.com is the website. When we come back, much more to talk about. We'll talk about computers, some computer issues themselves that we all deal with and talk about when we come back. TexintheBerg.com, 505 Lafayette Boulevard. Dave the Computer Guy here this morning. More coming up on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It is 8:31.
From the Fredericksburg.today online news studios, this is News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station focused on Fredericksburg. This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. And now, here's your host, Ted Schubel.
It is Dave the Computer Guy in this morning with Tex in the Burg. TexintheBurg.com. They're on Lafayette Boulevard. When you're coming into town, you can't miss them. 505 Lafayette Boulevard. Big green sign there on Lafayette Boulevard. Tex in the Burg. Before we move on to some other things, when we were just sitting here, Dave, thinking, when we talk about just all the damage and all, and just how long it is going to be to restore lines and the technology. There's obviously, you've got power and roads, and there are a lot of things to do. But as far as having to replace, I'm sure there's a lot of these lines, when you're talking about affected by all the rain and the water, it's going to be a while.
Yes, Ted, and with this flooding, with especially some of the pictures I've seen, the videos I've seen, when you have a wall of water that's 10 or 20 foot high and all this debris and everything's in it and it washes things away, it's gonna take a long, long time to replace the roads, the infrastructure.
Yeah.
If there was fiber optic cables or just copper cables, it is... This task is just, it's mind-boggling to me. Right. And I don't know, if I lived there, I would just put my hands on my head and just, I don't even know if I could deal with it. It's so upsetting. I mean, to think how long it's going to take some of these people to recover, I imagine some won't even try. They're just going to leave and not come back. It'll almost be like parts of Florida after Hurricane Andrew.
Yeah.
They were like, nope, I'm not doing this anymore, and they just up and leave, and they don't come back.
Yeah, wow. It is definitely something. It is definitely something big. And like you say, if you've got friends or relatives, reach out and do what you can.
Yep, and there has been a lot of talk on some of the weather channels and online posts and everything about some possible storms coming up. I did see one or two computer model runs of another storm going into the Gulf. I think that has gone away. I'm going to keep an eye on it day to day this week. It was later this week and this weekend. Some of these models were showing something developing in the Gulf. I am not seeing that now. Thank God, because that's all we need is another storm to come up into Georgia and North Carolina and everything right now. These people need, you know, some dry air and some sunshine and try to recover from this. They don't need another hurricane.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I did not hear, like you say, I had heard about it towards the end of last week, but this morning have not heard. But again, it's something worth monitoring. On to some computer things that we usually spend most of our conversation talking about. One of the things that we hear a lot about, VPNs.
Yes, and I wanted to talk about that some, Ted, because I've been getting some questions, and I think there's some misinformation about VPNs. I've had people say that they're not worried about getting a virus. They use a VPN. I'm like, no, that is not the case. A VPN is not going to stop you from getting a virus. A VPN is, for all practical purposes, what we're talking about for residential users. There's several different types of VPNs, but for the sake of conversation, with the ones that most residential users are going to be using, it's basically an app or a piece of software that's on your computer that talks to a VPN server that some company owns, and it creates an encrypted tunnel between your laptop, PC, or cell phone to this VPN server. And so the your internet service provider and anyone trying to snoop on the network that you're on and get information is just going to see a bunch of gobbledygook. It's all going to be encrypted. But after it leaves the VPN server and goes out on the internet, that's outside of the VPN tunnel. And there's nothing in this VPN tunnel that's going to prohibit a virus getting on your computer. You still can get a virus. and you're still going to have some type of footprint, so to speak, on the internet, whether depending on what site you're going to and everything. It's just locally in your house, or if you were in a coffee shop, no one can access and hack what you're trying to do or intercept your communications and decipher it, because that is all encrypted. But it does not prevent you from getting a virus.
Interesting. That's good. That's good to know, because I can see where you can wrongly be living in this bliss that I've got this VPN, so I don't need to worry. And all of a sudden, you find yourself in a jam.
Yes, and now if you're at a coffee shop and there's some scary looking guy with a laptop eyeing everybody in the coffee shop, he might be in there hacking into everything. That it protects you from that. And fine and dandy, but it's not going to protect you from downloading a virus or clicking on a bad link and getting somewhere where you really don't want to be on the internet and getting some malware on your computer.
Speaking of that, and I haven't even talked to you about this, but it was about a month ago. It was right after we talked, and you got to be careful on your cell phone, because I foolishly saw, and it was one of these situations, you're not paying attention, and you think, let me take a look at that. And as soon as I clicked it, I knew it was a problem, and I quickly got out of it. But for the next couple of days, I had these weird things on my phone, and it showed me you got to be very diligent with your phone and not be thinking, well, this, you know, my phone is not my, this isn't the same as a laptop. You get something on there, and weird stuff starts popping up.
Yes, especially if you got an Android. Androids are a little bit more susceptible to malware. iPhones, it's tough to get a virus on. You really have to mess up to get a virus on an iPhone. An Android is a little different. They're more susceptible, but there's a lot of free antiviruses you can get for Android phones. And this is another thing we've talked about in the past, Ted, is a person's behavior. That is a very, very determinative feature of someone being safe on the internet or getting a virus.
Yeah.
If you really are careful what emails you open, if you are careful of where you go on the internet, and you don't see some shiny flashing little window over on the side of this website and go, oh, let me click on that and see what that is, that's how you get in trouble. And it's like going out of your house and walking around the neighborhood. It would be very easy to get in trouble if you poke your nose into things you shouldn't be doing.
Right.
And the same is with the internet. And you've got to really modify and be very careful with your behavior on the internet. If you do that, it reduces your chances of getting a virus or malware on your computer dramatically.
And if you see anything suspicious, even from people you know, because it still can be something that where someone has latched on to somebody that you know, because I've gotten some things with attachments, these Dropbox attachments, and saying, I've got this file I want you to take a look at. And so I've contacted the person and said, did you send me a file? And they hadn't. And be very careful about opening anything, even from people that you think you know who it's coming from.
Yes, it's a valid contact. The address, the return address looks valid. It's someone that you've corresponded with in the past. And also, when you're busy, I see this so often, Ted.
Yeah.
Everyone's busy. Everyone's doing 5 or 10 things at the same time. And they're clicking on stuff, opening and closing stuff, and not paying attention. That's when you get burned. You've got to slow down a little bit and think about how important it is, especially if it's business related, if it's banking related, if it's stock trades related, something, credit cards, anything like financial like that that could really cause an issue, be very careful. And do not do that unless you're in the right frame of mind. If you're upset or you're doing a dozen things, don't get on these sites. Do it when you've got all full concentration.
And I know this is the talk you give to a lot of your clients. And especially clients that they're depending and they can't afford to have a virus. Literally can't afford. And I know this is a talk you give about it, especially when you're busy. Be very careful. And be vigilant.
Because if you do make a mistake, then the next thing you know, you might be having to freeze your bank account or freeze your stock trading account or your credit card, and this causes a ripple effect of other problems in your life. And just don't do that. Don't multitask 5 or 10 things at the same time you're trading stocks or messing with your bank account or credit cards online. Just take a certain time and do it when you're calm and you're not rushed.
All of this to say, we all need to have some kind of antivirus protection on our computers.
Yes, and even with the VPN is a good thing as far as it can mask your IP address and your location and definitely help keep away prying eyes on unsecured Wi-Fis. You still need good antivirus protection and a password manager. So if you have a VPN, a good antivirus, and a password manager, and you're ahead of the game right there. And on top of that, you also try to be restrained in what you click on and what you open in emails. The chances of getting a virus are very small, but it's up to you and your behavior on the computer and to make sure it's protected, backed up, and use a password manager.
I like your description of it's just like walking around your neighborhood. That if you
can walk up and down the street and say hello to people, or you can peek in windows and go around the backyard of places, and next thing you know, someone comes out with a baseball bat and wallops you in the head.
Right.
So if you do things that aren't smart on a computer or in your neighborhood, you're probably going to get in trouble.
I love that. And we are seeing more and more. I bet I see a couple of times a week where local sheriff's departments are always talking about various scams that are in the community. And it's these kinds of phone calls where they're identifying themselves as from the sheriff's department and they're not. It's all around us. It really is all around us.
I have gotten several of those in the past month or two, Ted. Over there, I'm so-and-so from some sheriff's department. It's not local. It's somewhere else in Virginia.
Yeah.
And it's a scam. And they're like, you helped us out last year. Would you be willing to help us out this year? I'm like, I haven't helped you out last year. I don't know who you are. And there's a lot of scams out there.
Oh, they are. There's that one. There's the one that will say that you've missed jury duty and you're going to need to pay this. Here's a thing we'll give you an address where you can pay and we won't pursue charges or all over the place.
You owe this money on this thing to the IRS. We're going to do this and that unless you give us an account to process this payment right now.
So be smart on a lot of this, like you say. It's sometimes if you have questions, call the person or call the agency and ask to make sure it's legitimate.
Yep, never give any financial information over the phone that you did not initiate.
Dave, the computer guy, here with Tex in the Berg on Lafayette Boulevard in downtown Fredericksburg. TexintheBerg.com, or you can call him at 371-2874. We'll wrap it up when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Download the all-new News Talk 1230 WFVA app for Apple and Android. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. And now, here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Dave, the computer guy this morning with Tex in the Berg on Lafayette Boulevard in downtown Fredericksburg. TexintheBerg.com is the website. You always, Dave, you're looking, and especially this time of year, on the prowl and looking for deals. And I guess there are some deals out there.
Yes, we've got a lot of people calling for well, either businesses or residential users wanting a laptop, wanting a PC. I'm like, let me check. I like to shop sales, and I'm notorious. I just love sales and a good bargain with a laptop or a PC. And Best Buy has a Lenovo IdeaPad 15.5-inch laptop. It is $329.99. It is really nice. A Ryzen 5 processor, 250 gig solid state drive. We've purchased several of these for clients the last several days, and setting them up and using them, I love them. They're really nice laptops. They're regularly $580, and for $329.99, you can't beat it. Perfect for college student or high school students, or actually almost any user in general.
Yeah.
It's going to be powerful enough for, except for maybe AutoCAD or something like that, but 90-some percent of the people,
yeah,
this would be plenty of laptop for.
Boy, when you talk about these sale prices, and you just think of what technology used to cost and what now we get laptops for and what they can do.
Yep, Ted, back in the 90s, I had a laptop. I'm not going to say how much I paid for it, but you could buy a car, literally,
yeah,
for what the thing cost back in the 90s. And this laptop I just described for $330 is probably about 30 or 40 times faster than it. And now that big, real expensive laptop from the 90s is a 15-pound paperweight.
Right. Yeah. No, and it's worth repeating. You've told us a number of times on the show about how your thinking has changed, and you used to tell people, get as good a computer and it will last, and you don't have to do that anymore. There really are
25 years ago, buy the most expensive, best thing you can afford and keep it for as long as possible. That is completely flip-flop. By the most inexpensive thing that will do the job in a few years. It's a paperweight. Do not waste the money. I mean, if you want a real nice gaming computer, you got to spend the money.
Right.
Other than that, if you just want a good computer to use day-to-day, you don't have to spend $2,000 or $3,000. You can spend $350 or $450 and get a really nice computer that's going to be plenty for you.
And be aware about the fact that the whole thing with the support for Windows is that's coming up. That's about to change.
This time next year, Windows 10 is coming to an end next October. And so in the next 6 to 8 months, if you have a computer that's more than 4 or 5 years old, you need to check and see if it's going to be a viable computer for Windows 11. Other than that, you're going to have to replace it.
Yeah. So yeah, that's why you start looking at these, when you start seeing some of these deals, put some money aside and start looking at, perhaps having to replace a laptop.
If your computer will not handle Windows 11, don't wait to the last minute. Do diligence, and in the next 6 to 8 months, make the change. Don't wait until next October.
Right, because a lot of people will be waiting till the end, and if you can take care of it a lot sooner, you can get some of these deals, and not have an interruption in service.
Yes, absolutely.
Boy, an informational show today. I mean, it's fascinating especially when you can dig a little deeper for us. And to look
and
at these
it's,
weather
it's
computers.
Something how technology has completely engulfed our lives in this modern era.
Yep.
Everything we do, it seems like, is technology. Texting, email, cell phone, satellite, cable TVs, everything.
Yep, yep.
And so it touches us in every single way.
TextInTheBerg.com is how you can get a hold of Dave. He will set you up and take care of you and... TextInTheBerg.com, 371-2874, 505 Lafayette Boulevard. Dave, thank you. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, Ted. Thank you, Fredericksburg.
That is it. Thanks for listening. We'll see you in the morning.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. The Glenn Beck program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA, focused on Fredericksburg.